Scene 4, Thomas Valier, 4:40 p.m. I could have looked up the location of Prison Press in the thickish exhibitor's guide I had picked up in the interview room, but I was in no mood to do that. Grimly, I set about tracking it down by guess, making bets with myself as to how poor a position the Valiers had managed to find, and therefore how poor a position there would be for the display of my books. What I didn't realize at the time, and couldn't, was that a life was hanging in the balance, and it all depended on the level of my irritation. Let anything happen that would lighten the load of peevishness, and all might be well. Let Prison Press be in an advantageous position, let there be a good display of my new book Tomorrow is for the Birds, and the scythe might not swing. Let there be even something milder, more general, such as just what was happening, the walk I was taking between rows and rows of placards and letterings and blocks and banks of color, and I would cool. Hard sell, blatancy, commercialism, or whatever, no matter how I disapproved of it all in principle, it was books they were selling, and I love books. I love the jackets and the titles and the samples and everything about them. And as the tension slowly began to leak away, I got stepped on. It could have been my fault. I wasn't exactly watching my steps. Besides, it was crowded, and bumping was a way of life. It's what being stepped on means to me, though. It's that disbelieving look downward. It's that, oh, there you are, sort of bemusement. I've been stepped on all my life, and there are two ways in which you can react. One is to learn to slither and fade into the woodwork. You can cultivate unnoticeability in a trick of sliding your foot out from the downfall of another. But that's not my way. It takes too long, and it requires a spirit resilient enough to be crushed for long periods of time without losing shape. I don't have that. I have to choose the other way of fighting back on the spot and at once, which means that I spent a good portion of my early years being beaten up, sometimes in anger and often in amusement, which is worse. It doesn't happen so often now. I have had to invest precious time at the gym in order to learn how to counter superior brawn in a variety of ways. What it amounts to is that I had to learn to unstep the steppers by force. And since word gets around, I am rarely stepped on, except by accident, as in this case. And because the press conference fiasco still rankled, I welcomed a chance for physical action. I elbowed the stepper in the side with considerable force and said, "On your own feet, Buster." Whoever it was staggered to one side, managed to regain his balance, focused on me after some confusion, and said, "Sorry, kid," and moved on. Kid! I'm 42! Granted, I look younger than that, but no one would guess me at anything younger than 32. Kid! He was paying his automatic tribute to my height, and the soothing effect of my surroundings was suddenly gone. I was frowning once more and annoyed at the world. I eventually came across Prism Press. It was between a dictionary display and a booth belonging to a publishing house that put out devotional literature. Thomas Valier was there himself, nattily dressed, just above average height, with not a speck of gray in his black hair, which had its every wave neatly in place. He was the very picture of the talented and stalwart young executive, no charge for pictures. Thomas Valier was there himself, nattily dressed, just above average height, with not a speck of gray in his black hair, which had its every wave neatly in place. He was the very picture of the talented and stalwart young executive, no charge for pictures. At that, he was an honest-to-God executive. Prism Press is privately owned, and Tom Valier and his wife are the private owners. That has its advantage. Prison Press is small enough so that you can speak to the head man, Tom in this case, and know that he is the head man, and that he knows every corner of the house business. With Prison Press, you never find yourself dealing with helpless editors bound by the faceless decisions of a board meeting or of a decision from distant Olympus. And that's not all good, either. In the large firms, when you do attract the beneficent attention of Olympus, there is money and power to play with. Tom of Prism Press could give you all the personal attention you need, and from his favorable decisions there was no chance of adverse appeal. But the financial push behind his personal attention was sharply limited. Still, he was amiable enough, and I liked him, but not now. In fact, at this moment I disliked him intensely, for there were no advance copies of Tomorrow is for the Birds on display, only a small placard announcing it was forthcoming. Not so Giles's new book, Evergone. There it was, a nice pile of about 20. Evergone by Giles Devore. No doubt they would be handed out to strategically placed booksellers. I said abruptly, "How's it doing, Tom?" "Darius." Tom saw me at the last minute. It was a way people have. It's as though it takes them time to bother with anything not at eye level. "Fine, fine. Lots of inquiries about Evergone." He didn't look happy. In fact, he looked strained, but I wasn't worried about that. I wasn't exactly happy myself. I said, "What in hell do I care about Evergone? How's my book doing?" I could swear that Tom had to think before he remembered having a new book of mine on his list. "It's hard to say," he ventured at last, "without actual copies to show around. We'll have those in time for the American Library Association convention. That's where your sales are, anyway." "That's where they'll stay, I guess. Wasn't my manuscript in your hands before Giles's was?" "Yes, but remember there was some question about revising the—" I remember, and I waved him quiet. I didn't want to go through it again.